Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Soul Surgery Podcast. My name is Nikki Clinch, and I am your host. This episode that you are about to listen to will expand your field, activate your heart, your creativity, your dreams, and just empower you in every possible way. In this episode, I am sitting with the amazing Regan Hillier. Regan is a quantum transformation coach. She is an NLP therapist, counselor, entrepreneur, CEO, philanthropist, just all round, totally incredibly powerful, conscious, inspiring, activating human being. Regan is one of the most inspiring people I have ever known, I've ever met, I've ever sat with. I am lucky to call her one of my coaches. She inspires me every single day to challenge the conditioning in which we identify with that create these limits of our reality. Regan challenges that block. Regan challenges the walls in which that conditioning creates. She challenges the whole thing, knowing that who we are is infinite, infinite light and possibility. And she really lives that way. So this whole episode is about transforming our external reality by going within, by shifting what's happening on the inside. And you know that that's also very aligned with what I teach and what I believe in too. Regan literally helps thousands and thousands and thousands of people all over the world completely transform their relationships with money. She helps people make 6, 7, 8 figures in their business, multiple 8 figures. She runs a multiple $1 million business. And she does it in a way that is completely heart and soul centered. She comes from good. She leads from good. She has a vision to positively impact this planet in the best possible way. She teaches me that by allowing ourselves to receive more, by shifting and transforming the very stories and conditionings that are keeping us limited and stuck in this disempowering, small hiding place, does not serve this planet. She teaches that when you are brave enough to go in and shift internally so that your field expands greater and greater and greater and greater to greater capacities, and you're able to start receiving more than you ever imagined that is aligned with your authenticity and the highest good, that is the greatest gift that you can give to this planet. Imagine, if you look at who's running this planet right now, the billionaires, the 1% that's running this planet right now, are any of them highly conscious? Are any of them led by the heart? Would you genuinely feel safe in your heart to have any of them do the highest good for this planet? Or imagine having highly conscious human beings who have done a lot of internal work, who are then making multiple millions, billions, and the impact they can have on the evolution of our planet and the healing of our planet. I mean, that just completely changes everything. So I've gone on a lot. Regan and I dive into a very deep and beautiful conversation. I hope it inspires you. I love her to bits. If you have any insights, aha moments, share them with me. DM me, tag me, share across your social media pages. Write a comment under the YouTube video or just email me through my website, nikkiclinch.com. And if you love this episode, please leave us a review, because your reviews really matter and they help this content spread far and wide. And if you love this podcast, subscribe, be part of our community. I love having you here. I welcome you here. It means a lot to me and to this work. So enough gabbing from me. I hope you love this episode. Let's head to Regan.
Hey, Regan.
Hey, Nikki.
It's so wonderful to have you here. I wanted to say this before we turned the mic on, but I wanted to save it for the recording. We had so many energetic kind of storms that came up to try and kind of get in the way of us having this interview. So I'm really interested to hear what's going to come through.
It's always the case when there are these little moments shifting something into happening in the perfect moment. It just means something really powerful is going to happen. And for those of you who weren't with me and Nikki 10 minutes ago, we literally jumped on to record this and then thunder and lightning above me just went. So we're ready. All the elements are here. We're ready to go.
We're like, bring it on. And actually, you know what? That in itself is such a good starting point. You know, with the topic, we're talking about shifting our external reality from within, like all the kind of storm, energetic storm that it felt that I could feel. Like every time we kept trying to sit together, something would just, like your back even went out when we were meant to record and we had to move. And it's like, how much can you stay centered and rooted in an energetic storm, in a storm, emotional, energetic, all of that? So it feels really aligned, actually, so that we can still get our job done. We can still do what our intention is. Yeah.
Exactly. And I feel that there's storms wherever you're at in life, right? I don't think there's any human who sits there and says, oh, I don't have storms. I don't have crazy things go on. I never have a challenge. You know, it's part of the human experience. But it's interesting, you know, when you look at this energetic concept of craziness or confusion or anything which is going on, which could be a perceived storm, most people go, you know, that's something I don't want in my life. But people don't realize that in the middle of the storm is generally one of the biggest gifts that you unlock. It's like being in the eye of the hurricane, right? Can you bring your internal reality to sit in the eye of the hurricane where there's total stillness and there's total depth and there's total clarity and there's total connection and groundedness simultaneously while everything is spinning and perceived madness around you? Can you be in that place? Because I believe that's the place that you unlock. That's the place that you go, oh, let me actually move with the storm instead of trying to fight against the storm like most people do. So I really think the storms, when they show up, are a great, great potential and moment of opportunity.
Yes. Wow. I love that. I couldn't agree more. You know, I teach the same thing. You know, we as human beings will find a million plus strategies to try and escape those experiences, to try and escape the storm, to fix it, change it, run away from it, not feel it. And in our escaping of it, we are creating more suffering and we're also disconnecting more from our power. And what you're speaking of is like actually the real mastery is how much can we learn how to like how to root right in the center of it, how to not identify with it. You know, this one of the phrases I always say is the storm is inside you. You're not inside the storm. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, can you be with it, hold space for it as it's moving, but not be blown around like a leaf in the wind, be a tree. Wow. So, you know, I wanted to just say you're kind of new in my life, but you have come into my life in a storm. Like you're small, but you have this extraordinary energy. And, you know, I started coaching with you in your MMM, your mastermind, at the beginning of this year. And it was such a strange and poignant moment. I woke up on the 1st of January, it might have been the New Year's Eve, and I knew that this year was the year that I was going to absolutely shift and upgrade and that life was calling for me. And I knew I had to have you in my life to do that. And so I just kind of contacted you out of the blue and I was like, I got to work with you. I felt it. And you also coach my coach, Susie. And, you know, it kind of amazes me the amount of energy and power that you have. I bet you hear that a lot.
Sometimes.
It really does. And I wanted to ask you, I wanted to hear more about your story. I don't know about your story. Like, how did you get here? Like, what, where have you come from that created the shift to lead you to where you are now?
Absolutely. And I think it's so important to go back, because it's easy to maybe, I don't know, jump into a mastermind today or follow someone on social media and just have a certain perception. And I think easily we tag, oh, that's just who that person is. But, you know, just like you, Nikki, I feel I've been birthed and created over and over and over into different iterations of myself to lead me to this moment today. So thank you for those sweet, kind words as well. I really appreciate them. And it's funny, because if I take you guys back to my beginning and my childhood, I would have never have even dreamed in the beginning that I would be sitting here with you having this conversation. I didn't even know these conversations existed. I didn't even know this industry existed, you know? So I never set out with that goal and intention. It very much flowed through me through different layers. And so I grew up in Auckland, New Zealand. I know you're in New Zealand right now, Nikki. So it's so beautiful. You're anchoring those codes back home for me. It feels so nice. And, you know, I grew up in a family who very much believe in following the system and going to school and working really hard and getting good grades and getting a 9-to-5 job. And, you know, my dad has always been an entrepreneur. He's always run a very small business his whole life. And he kind of always told me that business was hard and entrepreneurship was hard. And, you know, if he was able to have opportunities and go to university, he would have been an architect and been a very well-paid architect. That was the narrative I grew up with. So, you know, I finished school and then went to university and, you know, studied architecture to unconsciously fulfill that dream, right? Yep. And it was interesting, because I had a moment when I was at architecture school and a moment where a new lecturer walked into the lecture theater, and he got us to do a process, a visualization process that I'd never, ever, ever done. I'd never meditated. I'd never visualized. I'd never done anything like this. So I was about 18 years old, and he got us to close our eyes, and he had, you know, hundreds of us sitting there closing our eyes. And he said something along the lines of, you know, welcome future architects, welcome to the future of the architect that you were born to be. I want you to picture your life 20 years out from now. I want you to smell it and taste it and live it. And, you know, of course, everyone got super inspired. Nikki, I saw the worst case scenario possible. I saw myself. Wow. Sitting in a job in the corner of a dark room at midnight, doing something that I knew deep down I wasn't here to actually do. And I freaked out. I freaked out because I saw this so clearly. And I had this moment where it's like my body disconnected from my mind and my body just got up. I just knew I needed to get out. And I ran out of that room. It was almost a soul trauma response to what I'd just seen. And I made a decision in that moment. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to figure out why am I here? Because I just saw that. And I know that even though I'm good at it and everyone's told me this is what I should be doing, that's not me. And it's not my life. And it's not my truth. And so I did what was probably the scariest thing in my life at that time as an 18-year-old. I picked up the phone and I rang my dad and I called him. Wow. And I said, you know, Dad, I love you and I'm really sorry, but I don't think I'm going to be an architect. And wow. there was this moment of silence. I was like, hello. And to my surprise, you know, my father's amazing. He turned around and he's like, you know, baby, I want you to be happy at the end of the day. He said, I respect your decision. And I was like, really? Yeah. Really? And he said, yeah. He goes, so what are you going to do with your life? I was like, well, hang on, you need to just give me a minute. You know, I was so clear on what I didn't want my life to look like at that moment, but I had absolutely, absolutely no idea of the picture that I wanted to create. And so that's what sent me down a very different path. I went home that day and I started Googling, how do you quit your 9-to-5 job? I didn't even have one, but I knew that was where I was going. right? I knew that was where I was going. So I came across an ebook, right, around wealth creation that led me to my first personal development event that opened a world of possibilities where I went, wow, you can actually create a life you love. And, you know, this didn't start out with a grand vision of I'm going to make millions of dollars and impact millions of people. I was like, no, how do I create a life that I love? How do I not be in a job? How do I do Regan? How do I feel happy, right? That was my quest at the beginning. Oh, wow. And it was such an unfolding from there. So I'll pause there for now, but that's really where everything started.
I mean, that's quite evolutionary for that era, like for that phase, you know, like that's kind of normal now for people to even question these questions and to think that way. But back, I mean, you know, I don't know, how long ago was this? Maybe 20 years ago, 30 years ago?
Something like that. I can't even do the math. So I think it was like 15 years ago, yeah.
Okay, so that was quite a that's extremely outside the box to go and even ask yourself those questions, you know. Yeah. And it's funny because I, as you were saying, you Googled it. I did exactly the same. I came back from my stepfather's funeral, who he died suddenly, and I was like, I cannot go to that office that I'm going to every day anymore. And I sat down at Google and I wrote down the three things I love. I was like, healing through food, healing emotions, human experience. And I literally wrote it down, transformation. And like this course came up and it kind of makes me realize how important SEO is, doesn't it? It's like when people Google you, like you need to be able to help them find you.
Right.
Okay. That's an amazing story. And actually when you said earlier, you know, you couldn't even imagine having this conversation or even being in this industry or that this industry existed, the industry that you're in didn't exist. And I really want to honor that. What you're doing didn't exist. Mm. You have created a pathway for that. It's not like you could look in the book and go, ooh, that one. No, yeah. It from what I see and what I know of you, you created something that didn't exist yet.
Yes, I think that's fairly accurate. And, you know, it was from actually frustration with the industry that the creation of these new pathways have formed. Because, you know, it's interesting, when I started going to these wealth creation and personal development events, I was searching so far outside of myself. You know, I was doing everything that the speakers on the stages told me to do. I was investing all the money I didn't have, learning all the strategies. Oh my goodness, Nikki, I took courses on how to start a .com trading business, buying different .coms and selling them off. You know, it was crazy. I learned how to trade Forex. I was a currency trader for a while. Like I was doing all these things outside of myself. And, you know, I hit this point where I was over six figures in credit card loans and personal debt, not for holidays and shoes and cars, but for mentoring and coaching and education. And my life wasn't reflecting those results. I was trying to start businesses. They were failing. I was kind of unhappy inside myself. I was clutching. I was in scarcity. And I had a mentor at the time. His name was Simon. He's still a dear friend of mine. And I remember saying to him at one point, I was like, you know what, Simon, maybe I'm not cut out for this. You know, I hear all this talk about all these quote unquote successful people. And, you know, maybe I should get a job, you know, look, it's not working. And, you know, he said something which flipped everything for me. He said, you know, Regan, success in whatever you want to create in your life is 80% your inner game. It's 80% your psychology. It's your mindset. It's your energy. It's 20% what you then go and do on the outside. And he said, what are you doing about that 80%? Tell me every day, what do you do on the 80%? And I said, well, what do you mean by the 80%? He's like, you don't even know what it means, let alone you're not doing any of it, right? And so that threw me into a whole new world. All of a sudden, I was like, oh, how do I find Regan from the inside out? Oh, okay, this has led me to hypnosis and NLP and now energy work. And I started going down these different pathways. And the minute I fused that with the action that I was taking outside of my business and my life, everything started to change really, really, really fast. But I needed that wake up call. I needed to go so far outside of myself to get clarity on going, oh, okay, there's actually this whole other piece over here.
Yes. So at that beginning phase, when you started doing that inner work, and it sounds like you were training in the inner work as well, What was the biggest story or frozenness or contraction in you that you first had to release in order for the kind of the big expansion or the shift to start happening? Was there a particular story that you faced or you came up against?
I think there's been many. I think there's been so many unfoldings of it. You know, one that comes to mind is specifically around money. And, you know, this was still very early on in the beginning, but this was when I'd started doing some inner work and I'd starting some companies and things were starting to move. I was starting to see physical success. It was really interesting. I kept hitting this income threshold in my business. And no matter what I did, I just could not surpass this amount. I would even try and do it less. I would do more. I'd try all these different strategies and the same amount of money, almost to the dollar, would show up. And I was like, you know what, this is crazy. There's something else going on. And so I was journaling on this and starting to go deep on this. And I just kept seeing this image of my father. I kept seeing this image of my dad. I was like, what does my dad have to do with this? And then this thought came into my head and I was like, oh. And I picked up the phone again and I called him and I said, Dad, can I just ask you a random question? You know, in business and all of your years, I said, what has been your biggest month? What has been your biggest financial month? And Nikki, he told me that number to the dollar, Wow. And he's like, why are you asking? I was like, that's awesome. I've got to go. I hung up the phone. I realized that because I have a very close relationship with my family, with my parents, and especially with my dad. I realized I was in this place of trying to maintain unconscious connection and rapport. Because my unconscious system of safety, and I saw all of this in this moment, had been wired to go, well, hang on, if you surpass that and all of a sudden you're generating more money than your father, what's that going to mean for him? What does that mean for him and his structure as a man? What if he feels like he's failed as a man and as a father and as a provider? No, you don't want to put him in that pain. So let me not do that. Let me just keep that right here, right? And so I remember that just being such a moment. And the moment I did the work around that and acknowledged that I wasn't here to keep my father from suffering. And instead, if he's choosing to suffer, that's his journey, love him anyway. And I'm here for these reasons. The moment I shifted through that, I think that was one of my biggest income leaps. I think that was one of my biggest quantum leaps that I've ever seen with money, was when I saw that unconscious piece that just kept me in that same loop for so long. And I share this because I believe we all have these ties to our family. Even if you say, well, I don't even like my parents that much. We, as children, even when we're born, we take on this unconscious rapport. And until we go in and look at what's underneath the surface and start playing with this stuff, you never know. It could be running a program for you that's just not serving you.
Yes. I mean, I actually was just speaking to a client about this the other day. Like even when my clients will say, I don't like my parents that much, or I don't love my mom. That in itself is a protection. It's just human nature. You know, we're animals. It's just human nature to have this deep, deep, deep love for the ones that bore us here. And so the I don't like them that much is a protection, and that is a block in itself. And so even to kind of go down that road of owning how much you were unconsciously trying to stay connected to your father, it opens your heart. You have to dive into your heart even deeper, right? Into yeah. How much, you know, I think it was the biggest thing for me. I spent so long angry and resentful at my mom until I finally went deeper to heal that relationship and to forgive. And what I realized is that actually all along, I've loved her more than anyone. Like I've loved her, yeah. I've loved her more than I even knew I could love. Yeah. And when what that changed for me, when I allowed my heart to open, it changed everything. You know, suddenly things started to flow. I aced my exams. It freed me from having to be this suffering victim to allowing myself to be happy in the world. You know, these ties are so, they're intricate and they're powerful and that all of us have them in there. You know, this work is appropriate for everyone who's human.
Yes, exactly.
So I heard a story. And I know you spoke about it on Susie's podcast about when ayahuasca told you to charge $1 million for one-to-one clients. So I really want to hear this story. Can you share that story with us about that ceremony and then what happened next?
Yeah, no, I can definitely share that. It's a beautiful story. So it's really interesting actually going into that journey in Peru. And you know, when we take groups of people, we have maximum, you know, 18 to 20 people there. It's a very intimate space and it's a very powerful space, you know. And right before I went into the ceremony, I was feeling all of these shifts in my business. I was feeling that there were these parts of my business that I wasn't in alignment with, I wasn't in love with anymore. And I, you know, in that moment, you're just ready to make changes. You're like, I'm just going to shut it down. I'm just going to not run that course anymore. And I was telling Wampa very proudly that I'm going to, you know, stop doing all these things. And he's like, Regan, you're about to go to Peru and sit in a multiple series of very deep ceremonies where you will question your entire life and go into facets of your unconsciousness that you haven't gone into before. Do you think you should just hold off on making any big decisions? And so I was like, oh yeah, you're probably right on that. So I didn't do anything drastic. And I went into the ceremony. Now, as I went into the ceremony, I had a very clear and specific intention that I wanted to see the upgrade specifically around my education business, right? That was my intention. I drink the medicine. I have so much gratefulness and I lie down and I begin to go into the ceremony. And there were many different layers and many different facets, but the facets that I'll share today was I got shown how I was right on the edge of shutting down one part of my business that in itself did $1.1 to $1.3 million a year roughly, right? So it was $1 million income stream that I felt I just didn't want to do anymore because I was a little bit over it and not so in love with it. And ayahuasca showed me, hey, you know, this old pattern of just destroy something to create something new is not your upgrade. Your upgrade is leadership. Your upgrade is keeping this peace because it serves humanity. But can you then build leadership systems and structure in order to have that work without you? I was like, why didn't I think of that? And ayahuasca is like, well, you did, because this is all your own consciousness coming through, right? So that was one big shift. And the other big shift, which you referenced, Nikki, was my journey with one-on-one clients. Now, I came from the one-on-one space, you know, to fill in some of the gaps on that story after I went down that pathway and I started doing the inner work and things started changing. My life started changing and people started naturally coming to me and they started asking me, how did you do that? How did you start that? How have you been able to do this? And so I became this one-on-one coach almost by default. I didn't really know what a coach was. I never trained as a life coach. I just started calling people back and helping them totally for free. I wasn't even charging for it. And then people started calling me back in tears saying, thank you so much, Regan. You've totally changed my life. Now that this has happened, this has happened, this has happened. And for me, that was the very first time I felt a sense of purpose, right? And so it was from that place that I thought, oh, hang on, there's really something to this one-on-one exchange, which is going on. So I maxed myself out at that point in time. I literally was on the phone for 8 to 10 to 12 hours, 7 days a week, loving every minute and loving my clients. But it was crazy. It was so crazy. Nikki, I have to tell you, my very first one-on-one client was a 12-week coaching package. And I would call her once a week for 2 hours at a time. Total for the 12 weeks, I charged her $300, right?
Wow.
That is where I started, okay? And that's important for this story. That was my baseline. And that was my happiest $300 of my life. I was like, someone's paying me for me helping them on the phone. This is amazing, right? So I came from this path and I overdid that path. I shifted into speaking to groups. I then shifted into online. And when I saw the beauty and the leverage of the online world, I was like, I'm not going to do one-on-one anymore. Like, that's my past life. I'm done with that. There's, you know, people would say, can I hire you one-on-one? I'd be like, you can't hire me. There's no option. Like, I don't do that. I'm sorry, but you can join a container. You can join a course. You can watch this video. So I'm in this place and then I'm in the ceremony, right? And the medicine starts showing me, you know, it's time to work with one-on-one clients again. I was like, no. Listen, you don't understand. I've been there. I've done that. I'm not ready for that again, right? And she starts showing me super specifically that when I am to work with these people one-on-one, it's a $1 million container. And I got shown everything from the coding that that held to the exchange that that was to how to hold someone in their own consciousness and mirror and reflect and everything. I got shown the whole thing. Now, my mind was going crazy at this point in time, spinning out, saying, you know, that's just ridiculous. Who am I to do that? There's no, like, my mind was in full battle. And I learned very quickly in the ceremony that it was going to be very painful if I didn't surrender at some point. So I went through this place of surrender and I got shown very, very, very clearly that I wasn't to do anything in order to have these clients come to me. Because of course I'm asking the medicine, well, okay, what do I do? Do I run a webinar? Do I just tell people? This is ridiculous, right? And the medicine says to me so clearly, no, Regan, you're not meant to do anything. You're meant to embody the frequency and the people will come to you. And she told me 5 people will come. And I was like, okay, I've really lost it. Like they talk about losing your mind in ceremonies. I was like, I'm out. Like, this is it. Like, I'm just going to lie here and say yes. And like, whatever. Just like let this journey be over at some point. Now, after the ceremony, I was in such resistance to it. My mind was still going totally crazy, okay? With all the stories and all the reasons and all the beliefs and all the money stuff and everything, the value stuff, the worst stuff, all of it coming up. And it took me a good 2 or 3 days before I even told Wampa. And I told him this. I told him what the medicine had shown me. And his reaction was kind of similar. He was like, okay, well, feel into it. Like, that's kind of extreme. You know, let's see. And so I kept battling with this internally for about 2 months, roughly. I left Peru. It was always in the back of my mind. I was like pushing it away, trying to ignore it. Didn't talk to anyone about one-on-one coaching. It was just there, right? And then I was in Barcelona, actually. It was roughly 2 months after this. And it was there and it was annoying me. And it was annoying me that I was not fully owning it and that I had this guidance and wisdom that I could feel the resistance to it still 2 months down the track. And then I thought to myself, well, you know what? I don't even have to do anything. I might as well just accept it and choose it and own it. And if anyone asks me, you know, can I hire you one-on-one? Sure. I have a $1 million coaching package. There it is. What's the worst thing that's going to happen? They're going to say, that's crazy, and leave. No problem. Okay. It's like, it's the same stuff I would tell to someone who was scared about a $10,000 coaching package. Just own it, tell them anyway, and the right people will come. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to do that. And I did that. And I chose that would be my answer if anyone asked me, and I did nothing. And Nikki, within 24 hours, 3 people had reached out, 2 that were already in my field and working with me, 1 that did not know me at all and just found me on Facebook and was like, you're my human. All 3 of them sent me a message, a DM, and literally asked, and you know, you're doing one-on-one mentoring. And I was like, universe, you're funny. Yes, it's a $1 million investment. All 3 of them are like, cool, I'm in. I was like, what do you mean you're in? I mean, you have to do it. I've got to do it now. Right. And there wasn't phone calls. There wasn't back and forth. It was just deep, like, okay, cool. How do we make this happen? 12 months, got it. And we started. And the next 2 people showed up probably about, from memory, 1.5 months total after that. And I did not do anything. There was no post on the internet. I definitely didn't tell anybody. I didn't even really want to. All I did was actually surrender to that and just choose to fully own it and be like, okay, well, I guess that's what's happening. If anyone asks, and then sure enough, they started asking. So it was a big lesson in surrender. It was a big lesson in how strong my ego mind can be with resisting something that's trying to come through, but I want to keep myself in the same place, you know. There were lots of really, really interesting lessons to unlock there.
Well, let's look at those lessons, because that's just such a powerful story. And I can relate to that story, not to that level yet, but I can absolutely relate to the same struggle and internal battle that goes on when you're being quite clearly asked by life to expand, you know, in your container, in your field, in your energy, in your whole being in the world. You know, when you're taking on five clients at $1 million each, you know, already energetically, I can feel like the field that that creates in life is enormous. Like the ripple effects of that, the work that they go and do in the world is huge. Yeah. So let's talk about that in because you said, you know, I kept ignoring it. Like, what is that? Why do we do that? I mean, I have my answer to that, but I want to hear from you, and I want everyone to hear this. Why do we do that when life is clearly saying it's time?
Yeah.
Tell me why.
I believe we do it to keep ourselves safe from a very, very, very unconscious place. And our unconscious system, when you understand it, is not necessarily wired to make you a superhuman overnight. It's wired to keep you safe. It's wired to keep you alive. It's wired to keep you breathing and keep your heart beating. And if there's a, you know, if you're watching a movie on the TV screen, there's a shark, and it jumps on the screen, your whole body goes, when the shark, but your mind, your conscious mind knows it's not a real shark. It's not going to eat you, but your whole system reacts as if the shark is launching at you. It's a little bit like that. You know, we have these things in our mind goes, oh, that's a really good thing for us to do next. But our unconscious system goes, no, I don't know about it. Right. And so yes. I think one of the most important and fastest ways to deal with this. And I've done this so many times and would recommend everyone does this actually, if you have a goal or intention or anything you're looking to call into your reality, is to really paint the picture of what's beyond that goal, what's beyond that intention, what's beyond that reality. Because what happens is that if you have this goal and your unconscious system can't see what's next, it doesn't know what's next. It's like a fuzzy, dark hole, and it marks it as fear and death and the unknown and super dangerous. And so it does whatever it can do to keep you in this space of comfort, this place of safety, this place where it knows how to function and operate and keep you alive. But the minute you say, okay, here's the goal. And by the way, if I'm in the goal now, the next goal would be this. My reality would then be this. If I was already living in the dream home now, then I'd be focused actually on this piece over here, right? If you were doing this and going into these layers, your whole system goes, oh, hang on. Not only is it safe over there, it's actually really good. In fact, I think I want to help get the system to there. And it actually joins you in the acceleration process rather than fighting against you. So, you know, looking back on those months where I was in resistance with this piece, and it was an interesting piece because I don't feel that it was anything that I intentionally was like, that's my goal, and then got into resistance. It was more like I was shown it through the medicine. It's interesting, right? And was like, and it took me time to like lean into it and embody it and actually choose that, yeah, okay, that can be my reality, right? But I think if I was to look back and do something differently, if I wanted to accelerate that resistance, I would have just painted that picture. I would have gone, okay, well, if I just leaned into the fact that maybe I have these amazing clients and I get to actually be in service at this level. And as you're talking about, Nikki, hold this field at this level. And that's also one of the things I was shown in ceremony, that through these people that will continue to come through, I got shown the ripple of the impact that yes. creates, how this is so beyond me, but how it gets to come through, be held, go through this person as their consciousness transmutes and wakes up and then ripples out to all these people. I got shown all of that, you know? And so I think yes. if I'd spent more time going into that and going, yeah, you know, that's a great thing. And here's what is next after this. I think that resistance would have cleared out way faster.
Yes. Wow. That's so, I agree with you so much. It's so powerful. You know, the design function of the mind is to survive. That it is its sole design function is survival. And I say this often, if you've heard me speak, survival has nothing to do with living. It's only about trying to not die. So, you know, in essence, to expand into a being that is charging $1 million for a client, having five clients, you have to go through a form of a death. You have to go through a form of an ego death to be able to expand into this new identity or new version of yourself. You know, it and so that struggle makes sense. It's like the mind is like, no, I know this way. I know who we are this way. You have to let go of knowing who you're becoming with a vision that's driving you. Like when you speak about your goals, beyond the goals, beyond the goals, for me, that's the vision. That's the river that's flowing, that's never ending, that's leading you, that's guiding you the whole way. I mean, it made me remember this ayahuasca ceremony that I was in. It was so profound. It was so subtle and so simple, but it was one of those ones that just completely blew everything. And ayahuasca showed me in the ceremony, I suddenly just became this field. And I was just like flowing life force. And then every now and then I would breathe, or I would speak words, and the words would come out of my mouth like pixelated energy, and they would land on flowers. And some of the words would land on flowers and the flowers would die. Mm. And then some of the words would land on flowers and they would bloom like this. And it just kept happening and kept happening. And I was like, why are some of them dying? And why are some of them blooming? And what she was teaching me is that I have the power to either create thriving life or contribute to thriving life with the field in which I breathe and speak and come from, or create some kind of separation or ending or death. And it was so important for me to see that we all have that level of power.
Yeah.
We're either creating more life, expansion, thriving, or we're contributing to more separation. Mm-hmm. So I hear, and you know, every time we kind of hit those, it's like a cloak that's gotten too tight that you have to kind of burst out of.
Yeah.
It's like choosing, like, am I willing to expand into a field that contributes to more life, that even more, those ripple effects? You know, you working with you has taught me, you know, I had this thought the other day that, you know, what happens if I were to allow my vision, my whole vision of my company and my work in the world, what happens if I were to allow it to make multiple millions? Like, how could I contribute to this planet? When I look on this planet and you look at the oceans, what's happening in the oceans, and you look at what's happening with hunger, and you look at what's happening in we're in such a difficult place. And the people who have power, who have the money, are not conscious.
Right.
So what happens with these, if highly conscious human beings start making a lot of money?
Yeah.
What can we do? Like that, it hit me. Finally, it hit me. I was like, oh, wow. But to get there, like, there's so much like story. It's like, oh, that's bad, greedy. That's think, you know, that's shameful. And then it's like, actually, like, how can we have an impact?
Mm-hmm.
Can you share a little bit about the different branches of your business, like all the ripple effects? Can you, like, what, because you do a lot, like your business kind of has a lot of branches, I envision. So can you share a little bit about the different branches that impact in the planet?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, there's lots of branches. And I think the ones I'm most excited about right now are like baby branches, you know, they're just like starting to grow. And I love this analogy that you said, Nikki, as well, about the intentional blooming, or the intentional, you know, creating separation and destruction. And it's so true. And I think my one wish for humanity today in this moment is that everyone just really hears that and really hears what you just said, because I know that it can feel sometimes really, overwhelming. Or it's like, okay, there's so much going on in the world and our oceans are polluted and we don't have enough trees and people are it can get very overwhelming when you go down that rabbit hole. And you can feel very like, well, there's just one of me. Even if I had all the resources in the world, is that really going to fix anything? But we've got to remember that we're all creating our own reality. And in every moment, if you just focus on that blooming mentality that Nikki just gave you, I mean, that's everything. That is everything. That is what I believe we need as a consciousness shift throughout this planet. if people just understand that their words even are vibrations, and when they speak intentional vibrations, they create a bloom, or when they smile at someone, or when they open a door, or when they give someone a hug, I mean, that changes the whole planet, right? So I just want to touch on that, because I feel that, you know, before we even get to fun brunches and exciting things, like, it starts there. That's the root, like what you just said, like that's the core of it. That's the base. And the tree can't even hold branches if it's not rooted so deeply in that consciousness. So it's
unusual. Sorry, just before you go on, I just want to say, and it's a choice. And it's a responsibility. Like these two things, like we actually get to choose. We get to choose whether we're going to commit to being that accountable about every, like the where we speak from and the actions we take. Or we get to choose the other way. And I know it seems like it's not a choice, but it is a choice. And it's a responsibility to commit to every day. Like it's a lifelong commitment. It's a worthwhile way to live your life, right? To use this life is to commit to that. Exactly. So you go on.
Yeah, no, it's perfect. And life is the real ceremony. You know, you can go and sit in ceremony all you want and sing and pray and jump around, but like, how are you in life? You know, that's really when it matters. You know, we always tell people at the end of Peru, we're like, yay, you've completed all these ceremonies and done all this work. Now the real ceremony starts. How are you going to be when you integrate all of this? You know, nothing counts until you exit the teepee and get on the plane, you know?
Yeah.
How are you?
Yeah.
Right? How are you then? So, you know, it's fun with these different, with these branches. And I was actually having a conversation just last night with one of my dear, dear soul brothers, beautiful friends. And we were talking specifically around conscious impact and money and, you know, growth and development and truly leaving the world a better place. And we were talking specifically around the coding and consciousness of being a billionaire. And we're both not billionaires, right? We're both multi-millionaires. And on the phone, we just both went, I don't really know what that feels like. That feels really big. And I remember having the same feeling before I did even my first $1 million, right? Of going, well, that would be really amazing, but I don't know what that feels like. That feels really big. And I recognized that it was the exact same feeling. And I was like, huh, because I know it's the same feeling, I know I can unpack it. And we started having this beautiful conversation, exactly what you said, Nikki, around, you know, what would it be like if people with massive hearts actually had the resources to change the planet? And it's really interesting because, I mean, I know billionaires, but I don't know any that I would entrust the future of humanity with. I know people that have had amazing exits out of companies and they might be worth over $1 billion, but I don't look to them consciously and be like, oh, wow, please show me how you unlocked your consciousness and your impact. So I see this as a moment of really great opportunity, because I feel this is coming online. And I feel it's available for everyone, regardless of where you're at right now. It feels like this huge wave. And I've been saying this for years, and I feel like it's literally happening right now. I feel that for the people whose hearts are ready and they're doing the inner work to open up and receive all of this, I truly feel and know that the resources are coming. And it's not so much worrying about how it's going to happen, but the most important thing is upgrading your own consciousness to step into that next step. And that might not be a conscious billionaire. That might be a conscious millionaire. It might be a conscious 500K a year person, whatever it is, right? That's absolutely perfect. What's in front of you and what's that next step? But it was fun to recognize this piece in me where I went, oh, conscious billionaire. There, I didn't even know what I'd do with that money. There's so much to do, but I wouldn't even know where to start. How interesting. Okay, well, where would I start? And I don't have the answers right now, but it's something that I'm playing with, and it's something that I'm exploring and having fun with and unpacking and allowing myself to feel into the bigness of it. Notice I'm not feeling into how does it happen. I'm not feeling into, okay, well, if I create 30 companies and so on. No, I'm feeling into the coding of the consciousness, right? Knowing that any branches that are growing are going to be blooming and growing in order to support what's going on internally from the internal consciousness and the internal alignment. So yeah, there's many fun branches and many beautiful things. And obviously a core pillar of that is the education piece and the coaching and the mentoring. And, you know, it's interesting because that business is in a place now where there's very little time poured into it, but it continues to grow and expand. And that's by choice and that's by design. And that's because I know that I always wanted to create systems and assets and structures and leadership and people in order to have the right codes passed out to humanity so that actually I could be freed up to go and focus and create even more impact elsewhere. So one of the branches and one of the things that is very fun that we're playing with right now is creating a beautiful community here in Costa Rica. So I'm on the ground here, and not many people know this actually. Susie knows this because we had a big joke one day about buying a mountain, and then she thought it was really funny that I bought a second and then bought a third mountain. So she's about the only person who knows this, but we have 555 acres here in Costa Rica now.
Wow.
Yeah, that has grown and expanded. And there's lots of layers of this project, from a really beautiful ascension spa to house really incredible subspacing healing technologies, regeneration technologies, beautiful quantum machines and processes combined and fused with healing and people, of course. And then working out and I'm not going to use this term, but for want of a better word, a mystery school also on the land, but it's no longer going to be a mystery, you know. It's going to be the opposite of that word, in the sense that we get to create and birth a beautiful new school fused with what people need in this day and age, fused with entrepreneurship, but fused with healing arts and shamanism and many of the things that are actually forgotten in these school systems. So those are some of the branches and some of the funds and the play around this. There's ventures in the crypto space around creating a cryptocurrency fund in order for allowing everyday people to come in and actually amplify their wealth. And this is a big part of allowing the resources to get in the hands of the right people. There's also another crypto project, which I'm working on in order to put the land back into the hands of the people. I don't know if you've seen recently, but Bill Gates has basically, he's the number one landowner in the entire world now. Why? Yes, because if you control the land, you control the food. Control the food and the chemicals that go in the food, you control the people, right? So what we're doing underneath the surface is creating a structure where we're going to have a cryptocurrency token, which people can invest in from $5 all the way up to whatever they choose. And those funds will go towards actually securing and purchasing land all over the world, then doing organic farming and actually having an income supply from the organic farming through all of these projects. So it'll be actually backed. Many cryptos aren't backed by anything. This is actually backed by land. And we're doing this in a nice, subtle way where it infiltrates through the people, and the people hold the land and in their own wealth and in their own hands, rather than one really greedy person trying to do this. So yeah, there's a few different projects and fun things, but my day is really spent in fun and creation and impact and just asking every day where I can be of greatest service, basically.
Gosh, that's just so amazing and so inspiring. Like, you sound no different to how my son feels when he's sitting with his blocks playing. Like, you just sound like you're just creating and creating and creating. And that, and what's so clear when you speak, Regan, is that it's just possible. Possibility is endless. Yeah. Possibility. And that aliveness that comes with that the limitlessness that comes with that, you know, we're born with that quality. That's like a childlike creation quality that is just so beautiful. That's the magic that we forget when the mind gets too noisy. You know, I hear the absolute positive impact that's having on the planet, you know, and imagine you, and then times that by like hundreds, you know, hundreds of us doing this. And, you know, it's not a coincidence. We chose to come back during this time. I know that that's a phrase that's being said a lot right now, but it is actually true. Right. We have work to do. We're here for a reason, to shift the consciousness of this planet, and also to just to shift the possibilities of the evolution of where we're going as a species on this planet. And I just, wow, that's so amazing. Just hearing you just makes me feel inspired and alive. So thank you for that. I have a few questions I want to ask before we finish. The first one I want to ask, because this is such an expansive conversation, and it should be, and it has an aliveness to it. What can someone who is starting right at the beginning, let's say maybe they've been doing some work on themselves, but they just haven't hit the money conversation yet, or they want to, or maybe someone from a poorer community, or someone who hasn't got privilege, how do they begin? Where would they begin now to start shifting their external reality?
Yeah, totally. So we get to start within, right? As we talked about today, that 80%. And step number one is actually getting clear on what you want. And it sounds very simple, but this is easier said than done for many people. We have a lot of conditioning often of, well, who are you to dream that big? And who are you to want for that, or ask for that? Or how are you going to do that? I don't know. So we go out and we ask for something that we don't quite want. Maybe it's the next best thing, right? Which means often we don't actually get it or receive it, which then creates proof that we're not deserving and worthy of that. So it's really important to spend time, even if this takes you weeks, sit there every day and ask yourself, what is it that I actually really want? And I always hit thresholds around this too. Just the other day, I was going into this exploration of consciousness and money, and I was writing down these numbers, and I'm like, why? Why? You know, I don't really need or want for anything else in my personal life. I mean, why? I had to dream into reasons that were bigger than myself, bigger than I was dreaming into in that moment, you know? And so that's the first step. The second piece around this is similar to what we talked about earlier. It's really important to expand your capacity to receive. So once you're clear on what you want, for step number two, I want you to ask yourself, okay, if I was already living that, if that was my reality, if I woke up tomorrow and that was there, the money was there, my dream life was there, whatever that looks like, what would you then dream for? What would you pray for? What would you get excited about? What would you hope for and wish for? And the minute you start anchoring into that, we go past this sabotage piece of wanting to keep you safe and in the same place, you start painting this picture. Oh, I can actually hold more than that. And everything accelerates. Step number three is to then get really raw and real with your human limits. Everything which has come up from your fear and your sabotage and your self-doubt and telling yourself you're not enough, whatever is going on, I really believe it's not about not having any of that anymore. I have that. I know you have that, Nikki. Everyone, every human has this stuff, and it comes up at different layers and different levels, right? The real game is how quickly can you acknowledge that and dance through that, right? Are you able to stand on the stage even if your knees are shaking, or do you never get on the stage because you're worried your knees are going to shake, right? So it's acknowledging, ask yourself in the step number three, what is currently blocking me or stopping me or slowing me down? Okay, well, I'm scared and I'm worried about this and I don't know how to do that. Write it all out, look at it and be like, okay, well, can I move forward in spite of that? Can I move forward and take the step even if I have fear? Yes, right? You know, many people that have created amazing lives, it's not because they don't have any of these limits. It means they just dance with them on a daily basis until they're at the place where the limit realizes it's crazy and it doesn't need to be there anymore because you've already gone and done the thing, right?
Yes.
Step number four is to connect with the highest version of yourself. Okay, we're multidimensional beings having a multidimensional experience. And most people just wait out their future to eventually evolve into a version of them. But what I love to show people how to do is to connect with a version of them simply by requesting that you connect with a version of you, say, 5 years out from now. And then you can, through meditation or journaling, close your eyes and simply bring that version of you into the now. And ask yourself, how does this version of me walk? How do they talk? How do they dress? What do they say yes to? What do they say no to? What do they no longer tolerate? What do they eat? What kind of people do they have around them? Start tapping into that version of you. This is not about becoming something you're not. This is about being in the most radical level of integrity with you that you've ever operated from ever. Okay, so then when you've integrated that piece, step number five is the 20%. It's to then go and take massive aligned action. We've got to participate in this manifestation process. We've got to show up. You're not just going to lie there and meditate and do steps 1 to 4 and then everyone comes knocking on the door and go, oh, here's your dream, right? Generally, you show up and you do something. You call someone, you say yes, you go launch the course, you do a Facebook Live, you have that conversation you weren't willing to have before. You say yes to that dream, you register the company, you do what you're ever going to do, right? But you're doing it from a place of being integrated from the highest version of you, not from the lower place of, oh my goodness, how do we make this happen? I'm going to do 1,000 things and keep myself really busy and then maybe I'll get there. No, the highest version of you says, you know what? Do that, do that, do that. Say yes. Yeah, I know that's scary. Do that anyway. And you go and you do those things that are aligned. Those are my five pieces for people to start with.
Well, that is a life change right there. And you know what? I just want to vouch. They really work. I followed those five things. I still follow those five things. And they really, really work. You know, the whole thing about living aligned with your higher self, that's the subtleties. It's not just the big kind of amazing stuff. It's the little subtle moments. You know, like for me, it's actually choosing to step away from my laptop and sit with my son for longer and be really present with him while we play, or to go and lie on the grass in my garden and actually enjoy this life that I have chosen rather than be here. Go. Like the little tiny subtle moments that just create a different field in your space. And they just, and then those little moments just keep adding up and adding up. So, you know, it doesn't have to be big, higher self, you know, who is that? Like, actually right now, how are you feeding yourself? Right now, how are you breathing? Right now, how are you holding yourself? You know, little tiny moments that just have such an impact, the ripples.
I totally agree. I feel like the highest versions of people are birthed in the micro details. And there's this kind of this misconception that successful people take massive, big action. And while that can be true, the majority of the creation is birthed in these micro details. And there might be a big action piece here and there, but that's not every day. That's like a one big life-changing decision they might make once or twice a year. But the other moments, they're all micro details.
Yes. You know, Susie, who's my other coach, and I know you would know you, she works with you too. When I first moved to New Zealand, she sat with me and she like looked at my calendar with me, and she literally went through my calendar with me and was like, okay, like let's schedule January. You know, that would be my first month here in working transatlantic. And she was like, you only spend 1.5 hours a day on your business. And I was like, what? How am I going to pay the bills? Like, how am I going to create anything? And she was like, why are you moving to New Zealand if you're not even going to be in your life? Your children are home. Be with your children. Like, receive this gift you have chosen for your life, and then come and do 1.5 hours and be joyful when you do it. Like, be excited. And I genuinely didn't think it was possible. And then I committed to it. And what I started to notice was that in the moments when I was really allowing myself to receive this life that I had chosen, to be in it, to play, to go on adventures with the kids, to walk on the beach, you know, I was feeding my business even then. You know, it was feeding life through the vision. Yeah. And it was just, I mean, I work more than 1.5 hours now, but I just wanted, it was such a moment of, oh, I see, this is a different micro, these are micro moments that just shift your reality completely. Yeah. Oh, I love you, Regan. Thank you for coming into my life.
It's amazing. And again, you know, what you just said is so important for people to get as well, because when you're truly living from your soul and living on purpose, there's no separation. There's really not. It's almost like if you can train yourself to be so present 24 hours a day, then it's not even like, okay, now I have to work and now I disconnect and forget about the work and now I'm over here. Because even if you're super present with your children, for example, you're still feeling the energetics of everything shifting and moving and happening in your business and your team, and you're there, but it's not a mind. It's not like, oh, you're like thinking about something else when you're with your kids. No, it's an energetic thing actually, while your mind is fully present and your beingness is fully present. It's such a subtle thing, but I love that you brought that up, because yeah, if people can just even explore that and get curious about that, journal on that, I mean, that will unlock so much in itself for people. It really will.
Yes. And oh gosh, we could go on forever. Literally, like my mother, she's a millionaire. She's a millionaire. She's grown up. She's my stepfather really took care of her when he died. You know, she makes a lot of money, and she's a little old lady and she doesn't use a lot of it. And she has panic attacks at night. That it's all going to run out. And so that I know a physical 3D person who has millions in the bank and is just terrified all the time that it's going to run out. And I use that example because, you know, sometimes when I'm sitting with my son or my daughter and I'm really present, or sitting with my husband and I'm really present, or I'm walking on the beach and I'm really present, That feels like $1 million.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't feel any different. I mean, that feels like $1 million. Like the absolute life of it, the beauty of it, the love, the connection, the presence is $1 million. And that's the frequency. And you speak about that a lot with me. That's the same frequency as when I come in and I work with my clients. The same frequency as when my business expands and I am now, you know, bringing in more. And it's like, it's the same frequency as when we're present in life.
It is. It is. And you're right. We could go on for another 5 hours.
Okay. All right. I love you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, everybody. Please go. If you don't know Regan already, all the details will be in the notes below. Please go and listen to her, learn from her. You give a lot of free activations, and then you have these incredible, you have your mastermind, you have your incredible programs and your trainings. There is constant learning and education in Regan space. Please go and look and learn and listen and gift yourself with that. Gift yourself with that. That was my gift to me. And it is just absolutely continually thriving. So thank you for your commitment to life and for just being you. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Nikki. It's so beautiful. It's such an honor to be on your team and to be in your space. And I've just seen you upgrade and upgrade and upgrade. And I know you're just getting warmed up. That's the exciting piece.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful. Yeah. Thank you for all your work.
Stretches.
Yeah, exactly. But no, it really is such a beautiful field that you're holding in such a divine, pure frequency. And it's just an honor. It's an honor to see you shine more and more and more every day. So thank you so much for being here. And thank you for having me as well.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.